Welcome to Perfectly Sane Show, episode 598. I am Chris, as always, joined by Lion Fighter Tony.
I'd just like to say that, guys, I resign. Wait, no, I don't. I don't need to resign. Wait, no, I should resign. I should resign. Should I resign? I should resign.
Yes, thank you, Boris. Earl's here.
I'm just going to tell you folks to check out the beers, the show I just discovered. It's really good, and just going to recommend it on my own.
Tony was talking about it.
And Tony's getting everybody to watch The Bear.
What's The Bear?
I don't know. I think it's about roast beef sandwiches in Chicago. Jeff is here as well.
Wait, is that the actual premise?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, totally.
I watched the show, so of course I know that's what it's about. I'm just like, you know, like playing dumb so people would be intrigued. I don't know what it's about. So,
were you playing dumb though, or are you?
No,
I don't think you need.
Hey, goodbye.
Hey, we're the monkeys.
Yeah, I gotta start drinking this bourbon faster, I guess.
The Bear is it's about like a local, comparatively to Philadelphia, it'd be like a local cheesesteak shop or something, right? Like in Chicago, they're called Italian Beef, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah. You would just call it a beef, but yeah, it's Italian beef sandwiches. Like, it's a little place in River North. This guy goes to run this restaurant after his brother dies, who was the owner. That's kind of the premise of the show. Kind of a half hour comedy, but then sometimes drama. I don't want to say it leans more drama at points. I mean, there's some very funny shit.
It's
for sure.
Definitely more. It's more of a dramedy than
like
a straight sitcom.
Which I'm happy about.
I wish there was more comedy. Sometimes it's too serious.
There was. I mean, the closest it gets to being like that type of show was when they go to the birthday party and Wilmette or whatever. I think you've seen that one, Tony, maybe?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have.
And that was funny. I mean,
that was pretty funny.
But yeah, good show. I was kind of worried it wouldn't catch on with people, but it really seems like if we have several people here watching it, it must be kind of a hit.
I think it's saved by the fact that the episodes are so short, because that first episode is a lot, and it's not fun. It's not like I'm enjoying this experience. It's like, wow, this is miserable. I hate all of these people. They all suck, and they're all really mean to each other. And like, I whenever I get into a show, I want someone to root for, and I'm like, you're all awful except for this.
It's the girls.
Yeah, I like her, the sous chef.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's nice. And I don't.
But it's also like she walks into this situation. It's like, why are you here? This doesn't make any sense.
Right.
I mean, that's the kitchen, man. Like, bunch of nutcases.
how short are the episodes?
They're half hour.
Oh, okay. You should have said that with that. I mean,
it's not an hour.
You pretty much watch the season in a day. I would take your time with it, but
is it eight episodes?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a short series.
Yeah. Very good though.
I think it's well shot. Like,
and all of it came out at once.
Look to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well shot. The first episode is. Like Sony said, it's a little. The first episode, a lot of people would be like, that felt like Uncut Gems, but Uncut Gems is that for like 2 hours of just insanity.
Too much intensity.
Yeah, but really good show. And I really feel like whoever's working on the show like really knows Chicago, because it's just like too specific. Like, I don't know. Like, the things they threw in, like, kind of like blew my mind. So there's that part of it that was fun for me.
Oh,
also,
well,
the title makes no sense until later.
Okay, because like it does, it starts out like where he lets a bear out on a bridge, but it's very confusing.
Yeah, it's just like a dream he's having about a bear, and then like the show is called The Bear, but you're like, okay, why? Like bad title for the show in a way. That's why I thought like people wouldn't check it out. What the fuck is The Bear?
I mean, honestly, that was one of my responses. Is like, because I've seen it. It's on Hulu, and I'm seeing the ads. I'm like, I don't. Like, one, I think it's not on Hulu. Was it an FX show or something like that?
If it's an FX show that's exclusively on Hulu.
Okay. So that I was like, oh, it's weird. I haven't heard of this show. I hadn't heard anybody talk about it. So I just assumed. And like, I mean, on a spade is spade. Hulu doesn't have, like, the world's greatest track record with originals.
Yeah, not really. I'm surprised, like, they didn't air it on FX at all.
As far as I know, no.
I guess they wouldn't have if they put all the episodes out at once.
It's right. It's like that American Horror Stories, American Horror Stories, which is their like anthology thing. It's like that's also an FX show, but it aired only on Hulu.
Pretty cool that like you think about how many shows come out these days, and like everyone has like their own thing they're into. Pretty hard to like break through, and it really seems like the show kind of has. I mean, I'm just basing that off of, I don't know, like anecdotal, like you guys all watching it, people at work being like, oh yeah, I heard that's good, I need to see that, and I don't know, it just seems like anyone that has watched it ends up liking it. So hopefully. Although again, if they ended it with season one, it's kind of like the story's told, so I don't know. We'll see.
Yep. We will see at some point on that.
Maybe we'll get a video game on it.
On The Bear.
Sure. A video game about beef.
Is it like Overcooked, right? 3?
The Bear DLC.
it's like Tapper, but you make Chicago.
It's a little bit like Overcooked at times, you know? Like, that's why I hate that fucking game. It's too intense.
Actually never played Overcooked.
It's so intense, dude. Like, I can't take that game.
It varies so much depending on who you play with and your dynamic with them. Because, yeah, some people are way too... And it's also about management, like, knowing the right people and having somebody who's going to, like, take charge and be like, okay, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. Instead of everybody trying to do their own thing so nobody's doing a thing that they need to be doing. Yeah, I like Overcooked. I still need to pick up I have the second one. The first one they added, they had like the DLC, well, the new version that added online co-op, which they had in 2, but not in 1 when it originally came out.
Well,
it's just so hard to... It really captures that kitchen environment. Chaos unfolds.
I will say it's been funny because, I mean, again, you've been mentioning it, but like you said, I've seen a lot of people come up and talk about, like I saw one person tweeting today, like, they hadn't worked in the kitchen in like 12 years. They haven't, like, you know, like worked, and like it just brought back memories. Not like it's PTSD of like their time working in that environment. And I'm like, oh, that is very intense.
You know, Melissa works in the restaurant industry, and you know, she said like everything they just do on the show is like 100% accurate, except that you only call one person chef. But you know, they explain why they do that on the show. But it's episode 7, which I think, Tony, you said you haven't watched yet. It's just like, she's like, that's how it can be some days. Like, it's just, it feels exactly like that. So enjoy that and then be happy that you don't do that job.
Yeah, the one thing that I'm getting from this whole show is that, like, I would never want to be a cook, a chef. There's no way. There's no way I would make
it. But you love cooking, you know?
I love cooking. It's great. And cooking in this environment would ruin it for me forever.
Yeah, I think it takes a special type of person to be able to do that.
You get used to anything. It's just, you know, why would you put yourself through that?
love I luckily, food, I guess.
The closest I've got to a kitchen is being a driver for places, and that's like a whole other, like, completely fuck off job where you're doing absolutely nothing. They'll never make a show about us, the drivers.
You never know. I mean, because we've had shows set in restaurants before, but it seems like this is a whole different kind of beast with how
it kind of captures, you know, the chaos of it, the different personalities. I don't know. Yeah. Food. It shows food. Food is cool. Sorry, we're stare away from the amazingness of the bear.
I mean, it's a good show. I guess it deserves to have an episode about it.
Sure.
I mean, the only thing I would say is, like, it has been a busy week in video games, so we should probably talk about some of those.
It has been a weird week. E3's back.
I fucking told you. Believe.
I mean, I'm still going to wait until it's, like, official. But I have a lot more faith in Reed Pop than I do in ESA or
yeah, because yeah, at least these guys know how to put a as you said earlier today, or all they know how to put on a convention.
Yes, and they know how to put on a convention during a pandemic, because you know, PAX is still going, New York Comic Con still has happened. So, I mean, better, good or bad, like, that stuff has continued going on. And again, I think, just from a standpoint, especially with the ESA, ESA ran one show, that was E3. Like, these are people who've done PAX, who do New York Comic Con, who do the Star Wars Celebration. So conventions are their bread and butter. It's not be held to a single city or anything like that. So, like, there's a lot going for them that you didn't have with, well, the ESA. And again, not to pick on them too much, but to pick on them just a bit. Yeah.
Just happy that Chris and my demands were heard. And we will now have our dedicated E3.
Yeah.
We can't have, like, we won't have Nintendo edging us for a couple months going, oh, would you like to see a little bit of Xenogear? And then, you know, Then here's this fucking thing like a week after that, and we never get the real goddamn show. So even though, like, strangely, like, Nintendo was not part of E3 for the last few years anyways, but, you know, they would line it up with it, you know, and do their big direct with it.
I was going to say, the thing, though, even though you mentioned it, is I still think you will end up in situations where, like, Nintendo won't be part, like, because you still have Summer Game Fest as an alternative as well.
Yeah, just because, you know, Keeley says that's the thing. I don't know. I just feel like it was a unifying, even if you weren't there, that was the week to show what you got.
And I get that. But I feel like a lot of people, especially Nintendo, to your point, they've not needed that format for a while. Like, they've been at E3 physically. Like, that.
Right. They had a booth, yes.
And I think that is a big thing for a lot of people, but it's not. Like, oh, like, I mean, we'll get to it in a bit, but, like, look at how much Game Fest got today that was divorced from anything. Like, that wasn't a Summer Game Fest. That wasn't, it was just, like, here's news from, you know, like, about, what did we get? Got news from Capcom, I think. We got news from, so there's a bunch of stuff that came out today, and it was divorced from anything major.
I mean, with Repop running PAX, and so they have relationships with Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo. Like, they normally have booths at their PAX shows, so hopefully they'll continue to kind of align there. Maybe they have something to show for Keeley's Key 3, but I don't know. We'll see. It's a year away.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's good, means good stuff.
But yes, to Jeff's point, I do think it will happen. I just don't think, I still think the days of, like, this being a mega event, it does not benefit a lot of people anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you saw Sony and Nintendo both kind of pulled out of Gamescom, which was like the next big thing, and so who knows, you know, if they'll have their big announcements, but we'll see. It's 11 months out. And they, you mentioned some other news. I wrote some stuff down here. There was a God of War release date.
Yes.
That was dropped.
We talked about that last week because that was a thing that people got upset about because they didn't go to release date.
Yep.
When people are insane.
It's like November. Is it November?
November 9th.
Yeah. Which is, I think somebody pointed out, it's a Wednesday?
Let's see.
You guys believe it? Do you believe it's going to make that date?
Yeah.
I mean, there's still plenty of time to November for you know.
Anything could happen, but please don't happen.
It doesn't matter to me because I don't have PS5, but I had PS5. I would want
it's
that
also
game.
On PS, it's also on PS4.
And I'm never plugging that in again. That's never going to happen.
yeah, it's. I think it'll hit. In conjunction with that, like shortly after God of War's release was announced, Square announced that Forspoken was being delayed to 2023, and in one of the weirdest like delay messages I think I've ever read, basically saying that like the game's done. Like, Forspoken's done, but they're going to polish it some more after talking with their partners. Their partner on this is Sony. Like, I think Sony was like, you might want to get out of the way.
Or is it done, but it sucks?
It could be that, but they were around the same time.
Just like timing. End of October. Just timing.
But I was going to say, if you're done, why not try to... release it early. I mean, I guess that I don't know. I guess you don't have enough time to mark it in, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say to Monkey Won't Do, but yes, it was, I didn't even realize that. I wasn't paying attention because work got hectic. I just saw like God of War and like an hour or two late. I started seeing people saying like, oh, you know, you take one, you give one away or something like that. But they also had, again, to the point of like E3 being whatever. They had that weird, not weird, I actually like when they do it, but like they had the indie thing today where they like announce an indie game like every 15 minutes or give updates on them. I don't know if anybody else saw that.
I did not. I did see that they gave some updates on, was it Sea of Stars?
Yes, that's the RPG everybody seems to be in love with right now, right?
Yeah, it's by the guys that did The Messenger.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing that somewhere.
It's like a traditional 16-bit RPG without the grind.
Yep, it's kind of like Chrono Trigger-ish.
Yeah, I was interested. Just based on the developer more than anything.
Yeah, that's mostly it. There was a bunch. Looks like Polygon put a list up. Inscription, which came out last year, that's coming to PS5. Schism, or no, not Skim, S-C-H-I-M. It's like a hand-drawn 3D platforming game. Cult of the Lamb.
Yes, and they also did the Golf Curse. Curse to Golf. Oh, I forget what it's called, but that game has been...
Curse to Golf.
Yes, there we go.
Cursed to Golf?
Cursed. Like
Cursed to Golf? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's a side-scrolling golf roguelike game.
Okay.
You play through 18 randomly generated dungeon-like courses, and you collect power-up and upgrades. I saw it at PAX. It looked cool. I did not get a chance to play it, so I don't know how it plays, but... yeah, so, I mean, there's some stuff coming. It looks pretty neat. You said there was Capcom news, Earl?
Oh, maybe it wasn't Capcom news. I could have been making that up, but I...
Okay.
It happened.
Ch-ch-ch-ch. Yeah, it looks like they're bringing Street Fighter 6 to San Diego Comic-Con, and Arcade 1-Up announced they're bringing Capcom Legacy Yoga Flame and Shinku Hadouken Edition. Oh, I don't know what the hell that is. Looks kind of like Street Fighter on the side of it. So they're making a okay. So it's like it's one of those ones that has multiple games in it. Street Fighter 2 Hyper Fighting, Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition, and Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo are all part of this thing that Capcom is bringing. Also, they are bringing Ms. Pac-Man back.
The pack is back.
Capcom?
No, Bandai Namco through okay. Arcade 1-Up. So it's one of the Arcade 1-Up machines.
Yeah.
And they are bringing Ms. Pac-Man, Galaga, Pac-Mania, and 11 other titles locked into that machine as well.
Man, so. I'd be pissed if I bought their original Ms. Pac-Man machine, which is notoriously, I think, one of their worst. Maybe that's why they're doing the redo on it. I want to say their original
Ms. Was Pac-Man, it bad?
It was, I think, fine, but the sound was bad. Like, the sound was, like, the volume all the way turned up was way too low. Which is, you know, you want, you play an arcade game, you want kind of a loud volume.
You want it to kind of blast at you.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. And it was like, you know, I saw people do demonstrations of it where they would have it next to every other, you know, people build arcades out of these things now, and it's like, it's way lower at top volume than anything else at just like, you know, middle volume. So I think that was like the only major thing with it, but, you know, doing it again, doing it right, and then doing it with more games. Like, it had other things besides Ms. Pac-Man, but it didn't have 11 games on it, I don't think.
No. And so this one will have, it'll have 11 different games, and Ms. Pac-Man, Pac-Land, Pac-Man Plus, Super Pac-Man, Pac-and-Pal, Pac-Mania, these are all games except for Ms. Pac-Man. They're all part of that Pac-Man Museum collection. Galaxian, Galaga, Dig Dug, Dig Dug 2, and then we start getting into shit I'm not 100% sure of. Mappy, Droppers, yeah. Dragon Buster, and King and Balloon. They're all included.
It sounds like you're making up words.
Right?
They say a price.
$500.
They're getting so a little more greedy with these machines.
It's more expensive than... I mean, this does come with 14 games, so...
Yeah,
I do think they're getting a little up their own ass.
They've been pushing up the prices on all... And some of them I kind of get, because you're doing a little bit more, you know, elaborate cabinets.
Yeah.
I don't care how many... You know, the games should not... How many games are on it should not really dictate the price on this too much.
Mostly it's just... like, it's not an actual arcade board, it's just emulating it, so...
Yeah, so it's, you know... It's, I get sometimes you have to build more elaborate cabinets for certain games and stuff, but still, like, I think what was in the, like, the one of the ones they did recently, like X-Men or one of those, it's like $600. Like, I don't know, man, it would be cool to have, but you're right. Like really like pushing the limits on the price here. I mean, compared to an actual cabinet, I guess, way cheaper, but still.
Well, that's the thing. Like, that's what's crazy about this, right? Is like the like Ms. Pac-Man. You can get a like an actual arcade cabinet, you know, roughly the same amount. It's original hardware
for about $500. Yeah,
yeah.
But the problem is like, I at least as I understand it, I think like older arcade cabinets definitely need some maintenance, and then then it becomes an issue of. That's a hard thing to make happen, you know.
Can
what I mean,
like parts, can you like it becomes tough,
yeah.
So that seems to be about it, news wise for Capcom, I guess. The other piece of news that I wrote down here is GameStop had some layoffs across the entire company.
I am shocked. Shocked. This company that we've been waiting to like die is finally having issues.
I caught some of this tonight. It didn't seem like it was like widespread, or maybe I'm just like tuned out on some of this stuff. But I did catch something on it, and I looked into it, and I was like, I guess I didn't look too far because I didn't click on any of the articles. So does the layoffs include store employees as well, or is it just like people who work in the company? Like
store employees, Game Informer, because they own Game Informer.
Yeah, of course.
It was a decent amount of layoff content, which is weird to say, but yeah, there was. I think somebody said overall it might have been like 60 people, and some of it is for them to transition to like the blockchain, which is NFT stuff. But
yeah,
good luck. One thing I would give GameStop credit for, and I don't like to give GameStop credit for anything, but
they'll give you credit though.
A little bit. Well, when I was there, that they were a company that was always kind of trying to figure out what the next thing is, and they were not afraid to embrace like different ideas, because as far back as when I was working there, well over a decade ago now, say 15 years, like they saw that the future was going to be digital, and then they're like, so then what are we, you know? And they were always trying to do something, you know what I mean? And near the like the end of when I was there, like the last few years I was there, it was like, well, we're gonna sell used iPhones and iPads and shit like that. Like that was like one avenue that, you know, they're always pursuing different things at once, and you know, kind of seeing what would stick, right? And since I've left, it's like, you know, I don't go in there often, but when I do go into one, it's like, this is an unrecognizable place to what I worked at. Like, it's a lot of merchandise. It's like all merchandise. Like the amount of wall space and floor space that games take up is way less than what it used to be, and it's so much these like toys and Funko Pop shit.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. What you were talking about is like I kind of get your point, but it does give the brand a weird identity, where like it used to be like, okay, you went here for games, but like, I mean, like you say they sell that stuff, but do you think of like GameStop when you want to like get your phone?
No, and I think they probably dropped that aspect of it. I'm guessing, you know. Again, you go now, it's like gaming related merch.
Well, right? You could still trade in your phones.
Oh, you can? Okay.
They've expanded it now to wearables.
Okay. So what, like Apple Watches and
Apple Watches, Android Watches, headphones, yeah. Shit like that.
But yeah, I'll give them credit for they're trying to think of any idea they can to stay afloat, but nothing's ever going to top the original idea of buying a used game and making like 500%, you know, markup profit off of it. And like, and you just can't do that as much anymore because there's fewer people buying games. That means there's less used games in the market. There's fewer people looking to buy used games. You know what I mean?
Digital
there's
games
always
are
sales.
Than those, than I mean, those yeah. cheaper games.
It's, yeah.
And the common state of spades, you also have competition now where you have stuff like, you know, like you have eBay. I mean, I assume eBay was around when it started, but like that's a major part, like secondhand market. There's a lot of you can get better just, prices than you can for GameStop.
It's just not what it used to be when everyone just bought games on disc. It's just not, you know, and it's never coming back. And it's, you know, it's interesting to watch them try to adapt, but it also like gives this the company this weird like flailing like you don't. What is your identity like feeling to it? And hopefully, you know, sorry to people that work there, but like hopefully one day it just dies because that place is rotten. I mean, I'm sure most corporate places are rotten to work for, but that was like, I've never had a worse job than that place. So I wish them all the worst and I hope they all fucking die.
It is weird. So like you can trade in your iPhone to them. They don't give you store credit for it. they give you either a Visa prepaid card, or like you can get they give you a cash amount too, but it's considerably less. But it's not like when you trade in a game, like you can get it cash.
Look, why won't they won't give you store credit?
It's not store credit, no.
Weird. It was when I worked there. It would work the same as anything else. It would be like, you know, you right. get this price for trading it in, you know, for store credit, and then I think it was 20% less if you wanted cash.
Okay, so you can get store credit if you trade in Android. Maybe it's only iPhones.
I'm like kind of shocked that that's still a thing there. I wonder like if the stores dedicate any sort of space to displaying that anymore. It was a real, like, that was one of the last big pushes while I was there, and that was, you know, about 10 years ago now. It was like, you know, you had to mention to people that, did you know that you could do, like, sell us your phone?
It's crazy, because, I mean, I assume most people, like, go to, like, a carrier and get their phone.
Yeah, and just trade it in there, right?
Right, because you don't actually own your phone.
You do own your phone. I mean, you can own your phone now. Like, I own my phone. Yes.
I own my iPhone 7 Plus.
Yeah, once I figured out, because a lot of companies now will just allow you to have unlocked phones and bring it to them.
Yeah.
Once that was a thing, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to pay you. I'm going to get a deal up front when it's brand new. Just give them the money. I could do whatever I want with it once I paid for it. So,
yeah.
If they want to give me more money without having to trade it in, sure.
Let's see if you can get more if it's unlocked. Yep, you get more money if you have an unlocked phone, as opposed to it being locked to a carrier.
Yeah.
Neat. Well, I guess sad for Game Informer and anybody else that was laid off, but Jeff said it's not a great company.
You kind of like you feel bad for the people, but also, I kind of celebrate that company's demise, and the people that like do work there who still work in the stores and whatever, and let's say they went out of business tomorrow, they disappeared, and you all lost your jobs. You will find a better fucking job. Any job you find is going to be better. So in a way, it will be a blessing in the long run. So, especially right now, like, don't workers like have like this amazing power right now to just be like, I want to do this. Like everything, everyone needs people. Like, go work in the fucking beef shop. That's better than fucking GameStop.
Not from the way you folks described that show.
Dude, I can't tell you how bad working at GameStop was. Like, I really can't emphasize this enough.
Well, I've never envied retail workers because I've been on the other side, and I know people are horrible, and I'm like, I don't even work here, and you folks are the worst. So, yeah, I can't imagine. Especially, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it's you have a combination of a field that most people at the time, I would assume for you, didn't have the knowledge to buy what they wanted for the person they were trying to buy it for.
Yeah.
And the people who did are not the nicest people in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, I could deal with all that, but it was just, you know, the corporate side of it would set up this adversarial relationship between you and the customer. So, like, I just wanted to be helpful to people, you know, but it was, you got to make sure you hit this number and that number and this number and, like, shove things down people's throats. And why are you not telling people about this? And like, there was, like, there'd be, like, a laundry list of things you had to, like, talk to people about when they came in. And you're like, dude, this is not a genuine interaction with a customer. Like, you're not helping them, you're just telling them, like, you're like a walking, talking ad, and you're not like addressing what the customer wanted to talk about or what they were looking for. I could handle somebody who didn't understand games and help them pick out a game for their kid or whatever. Like, that was honestly the more rewarding aspect of it. Although, like, of course, there's really awful people that would make the job bad as well. Like, people would come in, like, there were bad customers, obviously, too. Like, But it was just like you were already set up to hate people coming in because you know they weren't going to want to buy what you were selling. And so it was just like, fuck, here we go. Like, you know what I mean? And that's before anything else happens between you and the customer that could have taken place anyways. Like, you might have hated the customer to begin with, like, or for other reasons, but you already, like, have a chip on your shoulder about the interaction that's about to happen because you're like, I'm going to be judged about how if I was able to fuck this person out of, you know, to sell them on something that they don't want or need. Like, it was just, you know, it was like retail turned up to 11. Like, it was awful. Like, it was like retail's bad and hard enough to begin with, just dealing with people, but then having to be this like fucking, you know, shyster, like, you know, the snake oil salesman on top of it was like, it's so dehumanizing, demoralizing. I don't know. Pick your word. Sucked ass. GameStop. Fuck them.
All right. Well, what you can do at GameStop is buy games, and I'm assuming you guys have played some this week.
What maybe. Are games?
I mean, that's a hard question to answer, Tony. There's lots of different types of games.
Anything except Guitar Hero?
Theoretically, that's also a game. Guitar Hero, also a game. Rock Band, also a game. It can be anything. Like, there's a game where evidently you just tap on a mayonnaise jar, and that's considered a game. Yeah, video games. Do I remember them? Yeah.
Yeah. They used to come out, play them.
Yeah. I played some this week, but.
Oh.
Do tell.
Jeff played this one earlier this year, Infernax.
Yeah.
It is. And it's like a retro themed, almost like Castlevania. So it seems like it's very inspired by Simon's Quest,
yes.
Castlevania 2. It plays maybe a little bit better than Simon's Quest, but it's not as good as like a, you know, Super Nintendo Castlevania game. I like it. It's fun. Can get hard at times. Like, it's not very forgiving. Yeah, I think the boss fights are interesting. It's very kind of open area-ish. Like, you kind of explore, like, Castlevania 2 style, where you're trying to go to these different castles and beat the bosses there, which will unlock a gem on this castle door. It seems like you can do them in basically any order you want, but you might need a skill or two to get to certain castles, I guess.
Sounds about right. It's been a while, but yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah, it seems like I can get there, but there also seems like maybe I need, you know, this skill to get through this area because I can't break the wall yet or whatever, right?
Yeah, there was definitely like I need a high jump or whatever, like
right, like there's like an area where I cannot get because I cannot jump high enough.
And I forgot, if it's a high jump or something else, you get that gets you up there. Yeah, I know. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. And, but, you know, I did forget, like, that the bosses could get, like, after, like, the first two, like, they got kind of hard. Like, you'll get past them, though. I know you'll, like, play tons of games like this, so you'll get past the bosses. I did, so you'll do it.
Yeah. But, and there's, so it's like, oh, do you want to play it on classic mode? I'm not really sure what the difference is, other than, I guess when you die in what they call casual mode, like you keep your experience and some of your gold.
Yeah, I think that's what I played on.
You can upgrade a little, but it pretty much, like if you die a couple times on classic, it's like, would you like to play over here? You get to keep your experience and some of your gold.
Yeah.
But you can't go back to the harder version. I don't really care. Like, it doesn't make it any easier necessarily.
Getting to keep your shit.
Yeah.
I'll take it, you know.
Yeah, instead of it, because then, otherwise, then you're, like, grinding out and trying to, and then if you do die, like, oh shit, you've lost everything. And
if you run into the kind of, like, choice system that's in it, where it's just kind of,
Yeah, I'm not really sure what to think about that yet, because like they're very, I mean, it's a binary choice, right? It's like,
yes, you're either helping good or evil, I think, kind of
deal. Sometimes I can't tell which one's which.
Like, you don't want to, you're like, ah, did I fuck it up?
Right.
Like, you know, because like you're going for, I think there's probably an achievement for playing through either way, right? Like,
yeah, there's
help all the people or help all the bad guys.
Like a good ending and a bad ending. There's a good, then there's an achievement for going from like becoming bad. So I guess you are like on the bad karma side, but then ultimately finishing good and then being on the good karma side and ultimately finishing bad. Like there's some weird achievements with that, but I'm not really sure. Like it doesn't seem to be a meter that's like, here's where you are. So I don't know if what I'm choosing is good or bad. I think they're good. Like I'm helping people, but
if you help like the bandit type people, it's bad.
Yeah, like I'm mostly like, all right, like I'm not helping you. Like he's like, oh, why don't you have a drink with us? No, like the guy whose property you're on. Like I don't get out of here. Like so, I've been like doing that stuff, but then there's like other ones. It's like I don't know. Did I like? There's this monster in a cage, and it's like, kill him or talk to him. Like, I don't know if I kill him. I saw both of them because I accidentally picked let's try and reason with him, and it busts out of the cage and kills somebody. And then I died shortly thereafter and hadn't saved. So I was just like rebooted and then you burn them. And it's like, I don't know which one's better. Like, I guess the villagers didn't die, but like we still killed this thing. And I'm not sure if that was the right choice.
Hey, maybe it is more of a gray area. No, but yeah, I do think you are like, you either kind of want to try to go down one path or another. And I get what you're saying. You're like, I don't know what's good here. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm having fun with it. There are some like weird shit. Like, so I just got to the, I guess what you'd call the third castle, the third area. It doesn't really tell you how to unlock it. I'm like sitting there. I you have to fight your way down through all these wheels, and it's like platforming on these like spinny water wheels. Mm-hmm. And then you get down there, and it's like there's nothing there. It's like what am I supposed to do? And it much like Castlevania 2, it's just so fucking obtuse. It's like you have to be there at night, and you have to cast your lightning spell. And that will bring it up out of the water. I don't know how you figure that out.
Like, I think someone tells you.
Yeah, like, some, you know, so, like there's a guy.
Yeah,
that's like,
too. Yeah, yeah.
There's a guy in an inn that is like, I think I saw a castle out there in the storm. It's like, okay, but like, why would you think that the lightning spell would be the storm? It's a little off. So I was banging my head, like I walked all the way down there, couldn't figure it out, climbed all the way back up. And then you go back and talk to the guy back in the main castle who's like, hey, if you ever get stuck, come talk to me. And he just talks in riddles. But ultimately, having fun with it, I think it's pretty good.
They do things to modernize it a little bit, though.
Yeah.
Like, I think you can warp around the map, right?
Can you?
I think so. I think that unlocks at some point. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe I don't have that. You have to
trek everywhere.
Like the map's not that big. Like
As you walk, it
builds out. So it's not like in Castlevania, you didn't have a map. Like you just kind of had to memorize where shit was.
You have a map. You have a map. Yeah. You know what I mean? So there are things that like makes it a little easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll get through it. It's one of my favorite games of the year, but it's also not a lot to choose from, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, in a normal year, this might not hang, but right now it's pretty locked on the list.
So I was playing it earlier today, trying to get like an achievement to just like continue my streak going, and I wasn't getting anywhere. So I like looked up like what the achievements were, and there's one for if you put the Konami code in on the main screen, basically it gives you like it starts a new game and you're playing Contra. Like your guy has a machine gun that he runs around with and he can aim it up and down just like in Contra. It's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
And that, that there's an achievement for that. You also start with like 30 lives, which is absurd, especially since it trivializes the game, like, because you're killing everything. It, you know, you just shoot your gun and it's killing things from far off. Like, you don't have to get anywhere close. It just shreds through like that first boss. It's kind of funny. I don't think it would be the way to play the game, but it is amusing. They also rename him. He's not like whatever Duke, whoever you are in the game. He's like a, it's called Maxime Gunn. And he looks like Rambo.
I did not know about this. That's cool.
Totally absurd. It's super funny. But yeah, that game's out there. It's on Game Pass. So any of that sounded interesting, give it a shot. Tony, what have you been playing?
The only game I have been playing is Assassin's Creed Origins, which is fantastic. And I have no idea why I didn't finish this game the first time around, because it's awesome in like every particular way. Right now I'm currently climbing the lighthouse in Alexandria. It's quite exciting. But I don't know. I think of the three like most recent Assassin's Creed games, it's the most digestible. Like, I think that the last two were too big, and this one kind of feels like it's closer to the old Assassin's Creed games, which were all like 30 hours at most if you did everything.
Right.
The other ones are too much of a commitment. This game, like, you're getting an awesome story, and a, like, you know, much closer to 30-hour experience if you're playing through the main storyline. There is a lot more content than that, but it doesn't force you in the way that the last two games have forced you to play through all of it. But yeah. I like it. I I'll probably never finish Valhalla because it's just too long. On the other hand, like, playing through this game kind of makes me want to try. So I don't know. Maybe I'm talking myself into it, but I feel like I'm getting close to the end now. I've assassinated most of the people you need to assassinate, so they're running out of people for me to, you know, eliminate. But there's like, there are huge areas of the map I haven't touched. Like, if I wanted the experience I have in the two most recent games where you do so much, I could have that experience, but it kind of feels like it, you don't have to.
That's good. I mean, I remember playing it and thinking the same. Like, I mean, I played it before. I played Odyssey, and I just played the beginning of Valhalla. But it did feel like it felt a little bit bigger than, what was it, Syndicate came right before it.
Yeah.
Felt a little bit bigger than that, but still, like, if you were mainlining it, like, it felt like an Assassin's Creed game. Yeah. Where Odyssey was like, you need to go do all this side stuff because you're not going to be leveled up enough for the next story mission.
Valhalla is a little bit worse because there are times that, like, I feel like I don't have like any quests left. Like, in Origin, you never run out of quests. Like, there's always something to go do and like a story to be told and like that kind of thing. In Valhalla, it feels like there are points at which you have to do the other stuff, which I find so much less interesting.
Run around and fucking do like really minor side shit.
Right. Like, I don't want to explore. Like, I don't find exploring the tombs in this game to be that interesting. There are other games that do that way better. I just kind of want to, like, I feel like Assassin's Creed tells really good stories, and that's why I'm here. Like, I'm here to see the stories and, like, you know, stab people with my hidden blade and, you know, do some fighting. And when you try to, like, push me out of that, I think the game is less good. So this game doesn't force that. You get so much of that storytelling, and it's all really, really good and really interesting. So I'm having fun with it. I'm getting close to the end. I think I'm going to play, I'm going to finally hit Horizon Forbidden West when I'm done. It's my next goal. But
yeah, I should return to that too.
I haven't started it. kind of feels like I probably should have been playing that before I play this, but whatever.
It's so I'll be interested to hear what you have to say about Forbidden West, because I think it's what I played of it was really good, but it takes so long to get going. Similar to like something like Odyssey, where it's like the beginning of Odyssey is all on that little island, and it's like 5 hours there before you get off of it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I felt about Forbidden West, is like, there's just so much to do before the game really gets moving. And it gets into it. It's all fun. It's good to play. It's just, you're not getting into the meat of the story for a bit. Earl, what have you been playing?
I don't play video games. We know this. But I guess real quick, I forgot if I talked about this last week. What am I going to say? Fall Guys went free to play. Been checking it out. I mean, again, the fundamentals of it hasn't changed. I think, like Halo Infinite, it is also just starting to grow in pains of the free to play model, is that battle passes aren't easy.
No.
You got to strike that right balance between like things that people can do that seems achievable but fun, but things that they need to work on just a smidge so that they can, you know, kind of do something in the game that's interesting. A lot of this is, I mean, I guess the best example I can think of is back on the heydays of the early 360, where it would be like, get, you know, like play 1,000 multiplayer matches. That's not fun for anybody.
No.
But that's what they used to do for achievements, because it's like, oh, how do we get them to keep playing? We have this. And that's kind of what it is. Like, one of them I just finished playing was like, you know, play like 100 rounds. I'm like, yes, that's doable. And I'm going to do it because it's also how you unlock something in Fortnite right now. But I'm like, that's also not like, I mean, since we've been on this show, I've done my Fortnite dailies and I started playing Fall Guys. Fortnite took me 2 games, and that was because I was also doing the weekly challenges in the Indiana Jones stuff. I'm doing like 3 things. It took me 2 or 3 games. I got a bunch of them knocked out. I leveled up like 3 or 4 times. You're making progress. Like, there's, you know, there's ways to get XP throughout the game as well. But I mean, like, the big things are always going to be like these goals you have in mind that you want to play a specific way. And I feel like Fall Guys is still trying to earn that. And yes, it is coming from a paid model, so that is not necessarily always easy to do. But again, the fundamentals of the game seems fun. My big issue remains, not necessarily that, but for some odd reason that, I played the game on the PlayStation. I had stuff unlocked. I hooked up my account first, which is what they're supposed to do. But the stuff for my, is not coming over from my Xbox. Playing on the Xbox, I mean, again, I assume there's a lot of the PlayStation 4, the Xbox Series, the Xbox One, S and X, and I assume the Switch are probably older versions that are not as smooth to play. Like, there's a lag with the jump button that gets on my nerves on the PlayStation 4, because it's a semi-platformer. So like that input lag, you just feel it. It's like, okay, I want this character to do something. And if you're jumping like half a second after I want you to do it, it throws off the whole balance and timing for me. Where I stand on the Xbox, I'm like, I press jump, it's jumping when I want it to jump. So I did much better. I'm not making excuses, I'm just saying I did much better on a system where it was going with what I wanted to do. But yeah, game looks great. Crossplay, it's like, I guess, a good thing, I want to say in quotes, that they got purchased by Epic, because Epic knows how to do crossplay. They've been doing it with Fortnite and Rocket League. Same system. I mean, because I've been doing Rocket League and Fortnite, it was also just easy for me to, I guess, just have that account and friend set up already, so that was good to go. Have I been playing anything else?
Before we move on from Fall Guys, Jeff and I both won games.
Oh wow!
This past week. So
what was your final round?
The bomb one.
Which one's the bomb one?
It's like it's like Blast Ball or something. It's it's a circular platform where there's these like balls that you throw, basically grenades. You throw them and if they explode, you like pop the other guy up. But then parts of the platform drop.
That's the one I had too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Bomberman skill coming in.
You know what's so cool is the whole game show or whatever that I won on, like every round I barely made it. I'd be like 39 out of 42 getting in there, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And then at the end I'm fucking number one. I was like, that's so cool. And mostly I like survived that final round by like trying to just stay away from everybody. And finally it was just me and this other guy. Once my platform started to fall, I moved in on him and I got lucky. We both hit each other with a bomb, I think. And he just fell further, faster than me. You know what I mean?
That's so exactly.
It registered his death, and I'm like flying through the air, about to die myself. And it's just like, winner. I'm like, yes. And the thing is, dude, if I did not win that one, I don't know if I'd ever get there. I probably would. I'd probably get there again. But I have not touched it since because I'm like, you know what? I'm fucking winner, dude. Fuck you. You know. It felt great. It was fun.
Yes. So I think this is a newer one. Back in the olden days of like 2 years ago, when they had Hexagon, which is the one where it's like the platform falls underneath you as you walk.
Yep.
And that's another one where it's like, again, depending, like you could fall at the same time, but one person might hit first and they will. And then the other one was like the obstacle course where you'd go and run and grab the crown. And then there's like the one that's like the old American Gladiator game where like the thing spins around and it knocks people off. And
yeah, I hate that shit.
I like that one.
I don't mind it. The problem is like sometimes you get screwed over because like the platforms disappear, and like there will get to a point where it's like there might be three platforms left, and like one's across from the other, and like if you're on that one that's gonna fall, there's no way to get to the other two. And I always, because there's no like pre thing where it's like, okay, that one's gonna fall. It's like, no, you're just kind of stuck. And that's happened to me, and I was so mad. I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna accept it because I can't. Like, you can jump and dive, and sometimes that gives you distance. But I'm like, that's not gonna cross it. So,
I want the Hexagon one.
They had a mode. I don't know if they got rid of it, but they had a mode recently this week where it was like every like you could specifically just pay that one variety of times of people. I assume that, like, you know, as they kind of go into this and get in more modes. But I also imagine it's one of those things where they wanted people to practice it. Because, again, with some of the later rounds, because the only time you get them is when you're near the end. It's like, if you get, like, let's say you struggle in the first three or four, or, like, you get a team one and they screw up, you get there once, and it's like, you only had that one time to practice, and it's back to square one.
Yeah. That it's quite fun. I'm gonna keep plugging away at it. At least try and get the achievement for hitting level 40 in a season. So
we should play one day because it quads is a bit different because like sometimes like it takes your overall position. So let's say I come in first, you come in fifth, somebody comes in 12th, somebody comes in 30th. It's gonna take like the overall average of like the team, not like position wise, but like okay, like this team that's like the third best out of all teams combinations, and that's how you advance. So it's really funny because I played that once with some friends, and we came in, I think we came in, I want to say seventh or something. Like we were just on the border, and I guess like one of the teammates of the other one of the squads in front of us either bailed out or did not do well. So like after we finished, we got bumped up a position and put us in the next round. I'm like, I'll take that cheap victory. Why not? So
the only like I saw that's kind of how squads work. So I jumped into some random squad matches. It also seems that the finale is, at least the ones I played, are all still whoever lives till the end, like whoever's last person standing. So you basically have four shots, I think, if you're on a squad to win. And then if one of your teammates wins, you also win. So,
oh, okay.
Kind of neat. It's good stuff. What else have you been playing, Earl?
I have not played a bunch of it. I've not played a bunch this time. I played it before. Mario and Rabbids, because it's part of NSO this week. You get to play the full game for like a week. And I'm like, you know, I own it. I've never finished it. It was a good time to like have it digitally and kind of. And I will say, one, that game still looks really good. I don't know what magic Ubisoft had with the Switch, but it's still one of the best second games on the system. The game's humor still remains delightful. But the big thing that it reminded me is, like, I can't wait for the sequel to just kind of, like, some of the movement stuff that they're adding seems a lot more fleshed out than, like, the grid-based. And
the you said their movement is more like a, there's, like, an arc, right? Like, you can move within this area and...
Yes, I think, but you have free movement, because I think in this game, like, you move, but, like, you're, once you move, you're in that position.
Yes.
So, like, so it's, like, good to be, like, okay, I'm not, and figure out that, like, you still attack after you move, so you're kind of solidified after that, but, like, the fact that in this, like, in the sequel, like, one of the big things with this game is, because it's Mario's movement, so a lot of it is, like, oh, you can jump off of an enemy, but, like, once you jump off an enemy, for example, you are then positioned nearby, because... Like, it's the next fight over, which just kind of gives you open for a counterattack on the enemy's turn. So, like, the new one, it's like you can move, then go into position to attack. So, like, you can knock people down and then run behind cover and then attack them. But, yes, okay. And like I said, it's on there. So, if you want to check it out, I think that's for the next 5.5 days. Nintendo, I mean, granted, it's an Ubisoft game. They're giving this away. The game is $10 right now if you want to purchase it. I might pick up the Donkey Kong DLC. And then I think the... Well, okay, I paid Halo Reach. And I forgot if I mentioned I was paying Halo 3 before. Again, I've been going through some Halo games with a friend. Halo, I mean, like, ODST exists between the two of them. But I forget how... Halo 3 has not aged. The game is fine. Graphically, it's the ugliest one in the franchise now because 1 and 2 got remakes.
Yeah.
So it's weird going from, like, 1 anniversary edition, 2 anniversary edition, to 3, which is still a 360 game, to then, like, Reach, which is a 8th-gen 360 game, but it looks so much better than it does. But yes, Reach has a lot of interesting dynamics. It has that weird hybrid of, like, you get the overshield, but you also get health packs, and stuff like that. But I enjoy Reach. I said before, especially the ending. I think it's one of the most impactful moments in the Halo franchise. And then because we're on the high of Turtle Power, I've been playing Scott Pilgrim versus the World, with a friend, and I enjoy it well enough. The one thing it really does highlight for me for Turtles is how much more I prefer that combat, because I think Turtles is a lot more generous with, like, hit detection, where Scott Pilgrim is, like, you really have to be, like, right in that area or you're not hitting them, and it's kind of frustrating at times when it's like, oh, it looks like I should be hitting them, but I'm, like, I'm either two kills or they're like, we're overlapping, so it's going past them instead of through them. And then, like, you hit them, but, like, you hit them for, like, 3, and they'll hit you back for, like, 5, and you get stuck in, like, this unbreakable combo. And I'm like, some of this is very dated. I understand what they were going for, but I'm like, I like Turtles, how it took, like, the concept of beat 'em up and really modernized it, and not necessarily, like, we got to make sure this is paced, so, like, these people are playing, like, the same stage over and over again and getting their ass kicked, and grinding coins to get their level ups and their abilities out there. So yes, that is me, who does not play video games.
Jeff, what have you been playing?
Not too much. More Fallout 76. I don't think I really have anything to add to that. I think I'm getting, like, approaching the end of some of the storylines, but you can never really tell because you think you're getting the end and they're like, oh, but I need you to go do these 6 things, and then you go down another rabbit hole, and so I don't know how close I am to the end of things in there. I do think it's a game that when I finish, I'll be done with. Like, I don't think I'm going to
continue playing it. Yeah.
Continue to level up and do events and stuff. Like, I just don't see that. It's not compelling enough. The game itself is actually very good, though. Like, I think it is a good Fallout game. Other than that, I did try out Ashen, which I think I mentioned to you guys. It goes on sale a lot. It's kind of an indie Souls-like game, and it's another one of those, another indie Souls-like. Probably better than a lot of them. Like, I was really enjoying myself for a while there. It's got, like, a self-shaded art style. Has anyone else tried Ashen?
I tried Ashen, yeah.
Yeah, it's got this like, I don't know, would you call it like a cell shaded look? I don't know how to describe it.
It's so it's like that. Maybe a little bit cell shaded, but it's more like that featureless character.
Yeah, there's like nothing on the person's face. Like,
yeah, like they're like face, just kind of like, but they're still kind of emotive in a way. Like they're, you know, they give you some sort of personality. But yeah, it has an interesting look to it.
And, you know, having a good time. I think I'm looking at like the third boss now. Like the third boss is the first one that is like hidden in this really long dungeon. And I felt the dungeon was too long without any bonfires or like, you know, save points in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that started to turn me off. I started to notice going through this dungeon that they give you like an AI companion throughout the whole game. And he would just like, besides the fact that they're not like, they're actually kind of powerful, the AI companion. Like they like can fuck shit up, but like they're just not smart. And then like as I'm going through this dungeon, I would come into a room and be trying to like go up some stairs and fight things going up the stairs. And meanwhile, the guy is just like standing in the last hallway, like I guess waiting for me to pass some imaginary like or some invisible barrier that he would start following me again. I'm like, dude, I'm dying here. Could you come help me? You know, there'd be things like that where like and you could like revive each other. So he goes down, you can revive him or whatever. And there was one time, like, I went down and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And he's just standing in the hallway right before where we were. And I'm like, I could really use your help, like, getting me revived right now. That would be fucking fantastic. So, like, you know, there's a little bit of, like, initial charm to the game because it's kind of like Dark Souls, but, like, obviously, way smaller team, smaller scale game. But it would give you, it gives you like clear direct missions where like you talk to someone and they'll mark a spot on your map and it'll be marked as this is the main mission or this is the side mission. So there's like a neat, like, you know, kind of different game that like also very heavily borrows from Dark Souls. But like now I'm starting to get the things where I'm just like, this is bugging me, that's bugging me. This is bugging me. I'm at the end of this dungeon now and having trouble with the boss and I can't go out and like trying to like level up, so to speak. It doesn't have a normal leveling system either. Like Dark Souls, it's more like level up your sword type thing.
Yeah.
And, but I'm like, all right, this boss is a little bit rough. I would like to go out and, you know, level up whatever, and it's like you can't warp back to the, like there's only certain bonfires or warp points, and the one at the end of this dungeon is not one of those, and it's like I don't want to run through this fucking dungeon again. And so I'm just like, am I getting any further in this game? I don't know. So like I was like really enjoying it for a bit there, and you know, I'm getting to a point where I'm like, why am I playing this? Like, it's interesting, I guess, but, you know, I'm still playing Elden Ring, too, at the same time, and, like, the difference in quality between the two is, like, vast. And right. Elden Ring, I'm a god now in Elden Ring, where it's, like, I don't know, it's almost more fun to just do that. Like, go in there and just, like, keep running through Elden Ring. Like, I get in faster and faster with that each time, just, like, running through the game, and I don't know. It's okay. Like it was on sale, I think for like $12, which, you know, do that, I guess, if you're interested. Also, if you have like the Switch, the only real thing you have is Dark Souls Remastered. And so if you're looking for something else on the Switch like that, there's Ashen. Like it goes on sale there too a lot. I don't know. That's kind of
about it.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say about it. Like, it's just, it's, yep, it's another one of those.
Yeah, I think the art style, like the way, the visually, that was like what drew me in. But
I like the look of like when you walk into like a cave, you pull out a lantern, like it looks kind of neat.
Yeah. But yeah, I think you've made it farther than I did in that game. So
okay, yeah.
Like I beat the first couple bosses, I think. So
you don't think you got to like the big dungeon I'm talking about? Like,
I don't think so.
God, dude, it goes on forever. Like I keep getting deeper and deeper into the dungeon. It would not end. And I'm like, is there ever an end to this dungeon? And I'm like, I looked it up, and then one of the first videos I saw was shortcut through the dungeon, and I just watched that video and I went, all right, I'm doing that. Like there's like a different way you could go that makes it way shorter, and that's how I got to the end of that dungeon, because like it just felt like it went on forever, and it was like really punishing enemies, like these enemies that would just like jump out and one shot kill you, like as they're jumping, as they landed on you, you died. And you know, I kind of figured out the trick with them was just keep rolling, but I don't know. It just at some point you'd be real deep in this dungeon, you'd fuck up, and then it'd start over from the top. And I was like, why did you guys not put a fucking, even From Software would put a fucking bonfire somewhere in this fucking place? Like this is ridiculous. Like so, yeah, I don't know.
All right. Well, we'll see if you stick with it. Speaking of Fallout, I poked at some Fallout 3
recently.
Oh wow.
And wow, that is a that's a game to go back to.
Yeah.
One, it's not a looker.
It really wasn't when it came out really either.
I mean, there are cool things about, like, visually, like, I think some of the architecture is really neat, and especially, like, in the distance, like, where you see, like, the Washington Memorial, like, Washington Monument off on the side, like, in the distance, you're like, oh, I know I'm eventually going to get there, but, like, it looks cool from the distance, or the Capitol building, and, like, you're not right up on it, like, some of that stuff looks really cool, like, especially with that. Everything has like this green brown color yes. to it in it. Yes. So
very green, brown game. You're right.
It's a really, I mean, and I think it looks cool for what that game is. But playing through, so like I had played it on Windows when it first came out and not on 360. So I'd only played through the beginning of it on the 360, like past like where, you know, the bomb in the first town.
Yeah,
I'd done that mission, like that's as far as I ever got on the 360. So I'm like doing some of the missions in that town and moving around, and I'm working for this lady. She's like writing a book on the wasteland or whatever. And you're going and doing these different missions for her. You're going to the library. You're going, you know, mire lurker camp or whatever. Like, you know, planting stuff for her. Doing all these sorts of different investigative things. And she gives me this mission. It's like, I'm trying to get to the location I need to get to. And that I didn't notice it maybe at the time, but it is so walled off. It's like, yeah. You've come to a point in games where you're just like, I expect I can like pretty much walk over this pile of dirt.
But like when,
it's like a wall. Like
you can't get over it. When Breath of the Wild came out, and it was like you could climb up anything. I was like,
right.
Get the fuck out of here.
And it's like, and even in Skyrim, like for the most part, you can kind of like go through. Like
your horse could jump like 300 feet in the air if there's like a wind gust thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like you can get around.
And here it's like, oh, you can't get over this like waist high hill.
You know what's worse about Fallout, in my opinion, and I always forget this until I play a new one, and I'm playing 76, and it's when you get in the interiors, like when you're inside of a building that's like large enough, and the level becomes like this maze, and it's impossible to read your radar, anything. You're just like, I don't know, man. Like, you're just slowly mapping out the place in your head. It's so confusing. Like, if they make an interior, yeah, if they make an interior big enough, it becomes a real hassle trying to figure out. Like, that's one thing that as I got deeper into 76, I'm like, there was one time I was like, dude, I swear to God, if I don't find the end of this place soon, I'm fucking quitting. Like, that's how like aggravated I was getting with like trying to figure out what I'm doing in this fucking level. When you get out in the open, it's a little, I think it's a little better in 76 than Fallout 3. Also, it's not quite as like gray green.
Yeah, when I poked at 76, like it definitely looked like more color.
Yeah, it's more colorful.
I mean, even fought like what was New Vegas and Fallout 4, they all have like a little bit more color. Like Fallout New Vegas is still very brown because it's in the desert, but there's a little bit more color there. And Fallout 4, I thought had some color to it. It does have that green grime over everything, but
76, because it's in like West Virginia, you're kind of in the woods a lot. I don't know. I don't know. You should have just played 76, I think, but you said you never beat Fallout 3 or...
Oh, I beat Fallout 3 on Windows. I was just playing. I never beat it on 360. So I have, it's basically a fresh game. Like all the achievements are there for me to get. But same with 76. Like, and actually I could play. Yeah, I should just pop in that because I think I played, there was like a Microsoft Rewards quest or something, like get an achievement in this game. So I got like the first two achievements and then there was nothing going on. It was just robots everywhere. So they built it out more.
I really feel like I kind of stand by this. Like it's been fleshed out into like a real Fallout game. Like it really is like
good.
The main storyline is as big it feels like to me as a real Fallout game. And, you know, you just got like different things layered on top of it. It's decent. It's good. It's just, I think in general that RPG design that they came out with, I think they started with Oblivion, maybe like Oblivion and Fallout 3. Like it's like Bethesda's like, blueprint for an RPG is starting to feel dated a little bit. But if you like, you know, doing that kind of story shit, like, I don't know, it's still pretty cool.
And I think the story, like, even in 3, like, going back to it, like, the story stuff is really good.
Yeah. I would say, like, the story stuff is not quite as good in 76, but it's, like, it's not bad. Like you're interested in what's going on enough, you know? Mm-hmm. Just trying to convince people to get a vaccine and... I first had to convince the Raiders and now I'm the settlers and now I'm trying to convince them to help me do something else. And it's, I don't know, like all that, like kind of faction stuff and like, who are you working with and this and that, like, it's all kind of there now. Like I really do feel like it's been fleshed out into a full game. I just think people like have so written it, like there's people who have been playing it the whole time and there's, you know, it has its fans, but like it just got so written off because of how it was when it came out that, you know, and rightfully so, but it's just like, it's a different game now. You know? Anyways.
Yeah. I mean with Starfield not coming out for a while, I could poke it at Fallout games for quite some time.
Yeah.
Tony, did you ever finish 4?
No, that was the one I didn't finish. It felt so much like, I don't know, like a world full of stuff and not really well thought out, that I kind of just got distracted. Plus all of the base building stuff, I think, really pulls away from what Fallout is. And it was really distracting. You're trying to play this game and you built this thing and now people are decking it. You have to go back. It's just really frustrating.
Yeah, I think that's where I kind of fell off on that too. What was that, Jeff?
You say people attack it?
Yeah, they attack your settlement.
Oh.
Yeah, so you have to like go and help them, and
I feel like they doubled down on, you know, the whole like building out your base in 76, but nobody attacks it. It's nothing. It's just, that's your home base. Like, you know, you just kind of build it out. Like nothing ever happens. At least so far, and I'm like pretty deep in the game.
As long as it's like just like, here's, you know, this cool thing you can do. We've created this thing and you can build night. Like I've seen some really cool bases that people built in that game. But yeah, in Fallout 4, it was like, you're basically protecting this village of people.
Totally don't remember that. I've played through the game twice. no, like the base in 76, like, yeah, I've run into like other players on the map. I run into their bases and I'm like, wow, dude, like that looks amazing. Mine is just a log cabin that has all the workbenches I need in it and a bed. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like I was proud. I figured out how to hook up electricity and put a light and a sign in there. I'm like, because that's like the kind of like the most confusing part of the base building is the electricity. And I was like, all right, I figured that out. I'm good. Like, I have like almost no desire to keep building onto it now. Like, I would like to get I want to get like a freezer, like one of like, those giant, like, you know, ice cream or meat freezers.
Yeah.
Just because you could put your meat, like your food that you've cooked in there, and it lasts longer, doesn't spoil as quick. But like, you know, I mean, there's like little things like that I still want to get, but I'm not like thinking about. I don't have grand designs for this mansion that I'm going to build in the middle of the woods. Like, some people really like do some really cool looking shit. And I'm like, I'm never going to do all that, but it's just neat. It's just another neat thing like layered on top. Like, you know, it's not, and you don't have to protect it. Nothing ever. I mean, I guess I did set up turrets around it, but it's just protecting it from like little mole rats running in and shit. Like, it's not really, there's not like, I'm never getting called back to my base to protect it from getting like overtaken or anything. It's nothing. It's just my house in the woods, you know.
Yep.
That would be preferable.
Yeah.
Last thing I played was a game called Far Changing Tides. It's also on Game Pass. It's a sequel to a game called Far Lone Sails, which was, it's like this puzzle platformer management type game where you have like a ship and you are managing different functions on the ship, and then like you'll reach a point where you then have to kind of platform through an area. It's neat. This one is mostly in the water, where the one Lone Sails was like you had this giant rolling sail thing which went across land. This is in the water, so you have like a submarine type thing, and so it gives you some different environments to explore. It's kind of neat. It's very much more of that same type of game, but it's kind of chill and relaxing. So if you're looking for something like that to play on Xbox or PC, it's on Game Pass. Pretty generous with its achievements too, so. I think that is it. Earl, when is
Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Yes.
Not soon enough.
Not next week.
It's not next week. That is, I assume that's, yeah, it is the 29th. It's the very end of the month.
Okay.
So we got plenty of time of nothing to do. I think If I Live is the 22nd, so that's soon, but I don't know who's saying that. Is there any game coming out soon?
I don't know.
Stray.
Oh, Stray coming out? Yeah. And that's on PS Plus too, right?
It's not on PlayStation Fest. It's on one of the tiers, though.
Oh, right.
Ascentu or something. I don't know.
Right.
What was I going to say? And then I think, what was I going to say? There was that. Oh, yes. And this is probably more for a Jeff thing. I actually don't know if Jeff is a person like this. I think they just announced that Pokemon Puzzle League is coming to NSO next week. So I know a lot of people are into that game. I've never played, so I'm kind of curious to see how that goes.
Yeah, no.
Puzzle League. Not sure.
It's a Pokemon skin version of Puya. Not Puya, Puya. Pokemon or something like that.
Okay. I think I've seen that. I've not seen Pokemon version of that, but I've seen like other versions of that. It's like a matching type game, right? Like,
yeah, it kind of reminded me of Dr. Mario or something like that. It's kind of like the match three colors, and like if you match that thing underneath falls, and then that falls in the face, so then you can just kind of create combos with that.
Yeah, it's like a Bejeweled and stuff like that.
Yes.
Neat. All right, well, I don't know if we're going to have an episode next week, because I have a concert when we would normally be recording.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm going to see The Weeknd.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Stadium?
Yeah, he's at Lincoln Financial Field. So at the Eagle Stadium.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
I completely forgot it was on a Thursday. It's a weird.
I hate that when they come to your town, it's like Tuesday night. It's like, dude, come on, man.
Right.
But it's not so bad. It's just really, it is. I mean, I guess.
You just got to call to work the next day.
I would just say, depends on what area. Part of town. Well, I mean, yeah, it depends on what part of town you're in, too. Because, like, yeah, I mean, like, I was looking at, who was I looking at? Somebody, and like, their concert's like Monday, Tuesday. And I'm like, you're in New York City, and you're not doing a weekend. That seems weird, but you do you. You'll find an audience. Like, people are going to buy tickets for it. I mean, sports games do it, so
why not? I mean, fortunately for me, I work from home on Fridays, so I will just wake up and turn my laptop on.
That's cool, man. Enjoy.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. So we'll be back likely the week after. There will be something up next week because VG Club is meeting on Sunday to discuss Banjo-Tooie. Spoilers, I did not like that game.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, we'll be back briefly. We won't be gone too long. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.